Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Thursday, July 7th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gandhi. Here are our top stories this evening. The situation is tense but calm today following nationwide protests, with some of the organizers of the Stay Away urging President Mugabe to resign.
By the 31st of August, President Mugabe must have spoken to the nation about the crisis that is in the country. And we are very interested to know when he intends to step down, as demanded by the people. He has failed.
A senior government official says the import ban on some basic commodities is being misinterpreted by most people. And Zimbabwe's Prosecutor General has been suspended. These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned. Organizers of yesterday's national shutdown at Jamuka Sesijikile campaign today gave President Robert Mugabe until the end of August to give the nation a timeline for the resolution of the country's economic crisis. The Jamuka movement organized the Stay Away in conjunction with Pastor Evans Mawarire of the hashtag This Flag and members of the public. Tajamuka Sesijikile says President Mugabe should also tell the nation about when he's likely to step down after allegedly failing to properly run Zimbabwe. Reporter Ivan Chifera has more details.
Norma was retained to Harare and most parts of the country today, though police maintained a heavy presence in some suburbs that were rocked by violence yesterday during the national shutdown. Organizers Tajamuka Sesijikile campaign commended Zimbabweans for a successful shutdown, adding there will be more action until President Robert Mugabe's government addresses people's concerns or resigns. Tajamuka Sesijikile spokesperson Promise Mkwananzi said President Mugabe has become a sticking point in the resolution of the Zimbabwean crisis. He says Mr. Mugabe must go.
We've said that by the 31st of August, President Mugabe must have spoken to the nation about the crisis that is in the country. And we are very interested to know when he intends to step down, as demanded by the people. He has failed, and we don't believe that in the state that he is now, he is in a capacity to superintend over the pressing state of affairs in the country. We need a transitional leader that has the agility to be able to supervise this crisis and ensure that there is a transitional process, a peaceful transitional process to legitimacy.
The group made several demands which Mkwananzi said were not negotiable. These include the immediate release of all people arrested during protests in the last few days, a return of abducted human rights activist Itai Dzamara, the abandonment of bond notes, a reversal of legislation banning the importation of some goods, and the implementation of the new constitution and electoral reforms.
It is important to state here that Tajamuka will not accept an irregular election, let alone a government whose legitimacy is contested.
Mkwananzi said he was aware the government was planning all sorts of things to criminalize their non-violent campaign. At the same time, Home Affairs Minister Ignatius Chombo said the ruling ZANU-PF government would not be shaken by the countrywide protests, which he blamed on Western embassies. He, however, said state security organs were working around the country to control the situation. More than 150 people have been arrested countrywide since the protests started last week. Zimbabwe National Students Union President Alistair Funye told Studio 7 the student community was proud of the Tajamuka Sesijikile campaign and they were fully behind it.
It's such a good platform that we really admire, that as for once and in the history of Zimbabwe, we've seen young people converging, putting away different ideas, putting away different interests, saying, no, it's our time.
Political commentator and media center director Ernest Muzengi said the success of yesterday's mass action shows the people's deep resentment in the way they are treated by the government.
These are citizens, ordinary citizens, church people, ordinary civic society activists, and others.
Meanwhile, President Mugabe is tomorrow expected to address a rally at Chipaze Stadium in Bindura Mashonaland in Central Province. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chipera.
Thanks, Ivan. And news we are just receiving is that two members of the Tajamuka movement have been allegedly abducted in broad daylight in the capital city, Harare. We are going to give you more details as they are made available to us. Meanwhile, in Bulawayo, the situation was back to normal with banks, shops and other businesses open and ordinary people going about their usual business. Correspondent Taurai Shaba brings us more.
Despite a heavy presence by the police in the central business district and in the high-density suburbs, there was relative calm throughout, even in Makokoba, where police yesterday clashed with protesters. Commuter omnibus operators were back on the roads as it was business as usual. A commuter omnibus driver, who only identified himself as Jablani, said like most of his colleagues, he had heeded yesterday's stay away and was hoping to make up for the lost time.
The situation is far much better today compared to yesterday. We can manage to ferry passengers from here to the locations and from locations to Bulawayo, though the business is a bit slow.
There was the usual hive of activity at the flea market centers on Lobengula Street and Egodini commuter omnibus terminus, with some of the vendors saying they were happy to be back at work. But some of the people who spoke to Studio 7 said they are still anxious that there could be more violent protests as ordinary people continue to experience hardships due to the ongoing economic crisis in the country. One such person is a secretary who only identified herself as Kudzai and works for an insurance firm.
I'm still scared to go outside. We don't even know what's happening. We don't know what's going to happen. The situation is unpredictable. Police are everywhere. We are scared. We're just scared.
In most schools which Studio 7 visited, particularly primary schools, teachers reported for duty, but nearly half of the school children were absent. Most of those who had come to school spent the day playing in the school grounds or returned home early. The situation was reported to be the same as yesterday at Bulawayo's major hospitals, as most doctors and nurses did not report for work. Meanwhile, the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights deployed more lawyers to Bulawayo to help represent nearly 100 people who were arrested in the city in the wake of yesterday's protests. Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights regional manager Lizo Jamela told Studio 7 over the phone that only four of those arrested had so far appeared in court. He, however, could not provide further details as he was busy coordinating efforts to ensure that those who remain in custody are released or brought to court.
Bulawayo, only a few, as those who were at Luveve, the majority who were at Nzilega haven't been taken to court. Nzilega, there were 86. Luveve, there were four.
Most of those who were arrested during Wednesday's protest are expected to appear in court tomorrow. Reporting for Studio 7 from Bulawayo, this is Taurai Shaba.
In Chinoy, there have been mixed feelings over the impact of national protests staged yesterday by civil society leaders, with some people saying this has forced the government to fast-track the payment of civil servant salaries today. Arthur Chigoriwa reports from the Mashonaland West Provincial Capital.
Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe Provincial Chairperson Rosten Mutapka told Studio 7 that politically the stay away had an immediate impact, as this appears to have forced the government to bring forward pay dates of civil servants' outstanding salaries from next week to tomorrow. Indications are that teachers were paid today as promised by the government. Mutapka said they started the stay away on Tuesday and the other sectors that depend on civil servants like vendors joined yesterday.
The industrial action that we took as civil servants was a success. Success in the sense that, for example, in the education sector, many schools were closed, especially those in urban areas. The health sector was supposed to get their salaries on the 14th of this month, but then the government changed the date to tomorrow, the 8th. It shows that there is a very big impact on our industrial action.
Another protester who wanted to be identified only as Clifford said government is panicking at the moment following the protest.
The government as an employer is actually panicked because we understand they are going to pay the rest of civil service tomorrow.
Clever Choguza, a resident of Rovimbo High Desert suburb in Shinoi, said politically it was a victory for demonstrators as it forced President Robert Mugabe to promptly organize a rally in Bindura tomorrow, where he is expected to speak on issues affecting Zimbabweans.
We could see their resistance, but we pushed them. They all managed to have a political meeting. In the political, they concluded that the president should address the public tomorrow in Bindura.
Maingire said the current political leadership will not listen like they always do.
There won't be any impact because the leadership will not take any action. Things will remain the same, so nothing's going to change.
Shinoi-based social and economic commentator Edmo Mazarure said stay-aways will worsen the already bad situation and they will not solve anything. Mazarure said instead of staying away, people should demand what they want.
The economy is on its knees. The impact is very negligible because things are going down. You talk about things like corruption. People should demand rather than stay away. Because if you don't demand certain things to happen and you stay away, staying away, I mean, doing nothing does not bring anything.
Meanwhile, it was business as usual today in Shinoi, although some shops opened a little bit late because they were not quite sure whether the stay away was still on. Reporting for Studio 7 in Shinoi, this is Arthur Chigoriwa.
Meanwhile, Industry and Commerce Permanent Secretary Abigail Shoniwa says a lack of clarity on the import ban of some basic commodities could have fueled protests at the Beitbridge border post. Shoniwa says people are free to import some of the goods listed in the new law for domestic consumption only. Reporter Lloyd Amoyo has more details.
Addressing delegates attending a three-day Buy Zimbabwe 2016 local summit in Mutare today, Shoniwa said the import ban only affects the commercial sector and not individuals who buy goods for domestic consumption. She also stated that the import ban under Statutory Instrument 64 of 2016 was not targeted at South African goods alone.
This SI was not meant to target South Africa. This SI means that if you bring a product from beyond, I don't know, anywhere in the world, and it comes and it's on that SI, it will be affected. It's not an SI to ban products from South Africa.
She said the Buy Zimbabwe campaign, which is canvassing for the purchase of local goods, is a noble idea and urged companies to produce quality goods that compete well with others from different nations. Included on the list of banned imports are goods like furniture, baked beans, potato crisps, cereals, bottled water, mayonnaise, salad cream, peanut butter, jams, mayo, canned fruits and vegetables, pizza base, yogurts, flavored milks, dairy juice blends, ice creams, cultured milk and cheese. The Buy Zimbabwe Summit ends Friday. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lloyd Amoyo.
Thanks, Lloyd. Meanwhile, all the 15 civil servants unions have agreed to call off their strike from tomorrow to give room to dialogue with the government. But sources told Studio 7 that the workers have made it clear that they will only go back on strike if July salaries are not paid before the 1st of August. Teachers were paid June salaries as promised by government today, and workers in the health sector are set to get their salaries tomorrow instead of the 14th of this month, as previously stated. Apex Council spokesperson George Mushipe, who is also the president of the Zimbabwe Democratic Teachers Union, tells Studio 7 that the government has called for a meeting next Monday to discuss the payment of July salaries.
I think it just confirms that the pay date that was announced by the government, that teachers would get their salary on 7th of July, I can confirm that that happened. We are also happy to hear that those in the health sector are also getting theirs on Friday, the 8th of July 2016. But we are also saying, from now onwards, we want to get paid in that same month that would have worked. We are also disappointed that the rest of the civil servants have not yet received theirs. We are also feeling that their own pay date would be brought forward together with our pensioners. That would actually boost morale among civil servants as well as the pensioners.
What's the position with your July salaries? Has the government said anything about this?
It's an item on the agenda for our Monday meeting. Only then should we be able then to communicate anything about that. But our demand remains the same, that we must be paid in July. Those who have worked in July, we must be able to plan using the service that should end in that particular month that I've worked. We have demonstrated our displeasure at those units of shifting of pay days. And I think money is there somewhere. The money is there somewhere, which is why I then say that we just need to have our salaries come in that month I've worked. Because if we had not made noise about this, those in the outside have still been paid on 14 July. But because we spoke strongly against it, which is why they've been able now to push the debt further. Which also means if we'd made noise earlier in June, possibly we could have received our salaries in June. But then we can't leave to make noise before we get our salaries. It would be very unfortunate.
That was APEX Council spokesperson George Mushipe, who's also the president of the Zimbabwe Democratic Teachers Union, on the phone from Harare with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. Coming up, an analysis of the nationwide protests that brought Zimbabwe to a standstill yesterday.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metum Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
And now we take a look at regional and international news. The chief of the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation is defending his decision not to pursue a criminal case against Hillary Clinton for her handling of classified national security information while she was Secretary of State, even though she said investigators found great carelessness in her use of private and secured email servers. And a man was fatally shot Wednesday night by a police officer during a traffic stop in the Midwestern city Falcon Heights, Minnesota. It was the second fatal police shooting of an African-American man by white police officers in as many days. As mentioned earlier on, Zimbabweans yesterday staged a public protest expressing their dismay over the deteriorating economic situation, corruption, and other issues. The government reacted angrily to the national stairway with Home Affairs Minister Ignatius Chombo threatening to take drastic action on the organizers of the protest. But what is expected to come out of the stairway, which undoubtedly is giving government officials sleepless nights? For perspective, Studio 7's Gibbs Dube reached Hepson Ncube of the Jamuka Sesijikile movement and ZANU-PF lawmaker Joseph Chuma. Ncube says the stairway has left government officials shaken to the core.
What we are going to do next is to make sure that President Mugabe resigns with immediate effect, that President Mugabe dissolves cabinet, that President Mugabe dissolves parliament, so that people of Zimbabwe express their concerns fully. What we are going to do also is to make sure that on the 9th of July, as we have heard, we are going to make sure that every concerned citizen of this country, including the members of parliament from ZANU-PF, including young people from ZANU-PF, including everyone from ZANU-PF, should make sure that they demonstrate to President Mugabe that his policies have failed this country and the nation as a whole.
Honorable Chuma, I think you can hear what Mr. Ncube is saying. So at the end of the day, you know, there have been these protests, and do you think he's being fair in whatever he's saying right now?
The so-called protests, according to the hashtag, the Jamuka hashtag, sensitive hashtag, this flag, you cannot say that they have realized any results at all, because here what I majorly see are results of fear that are induced into people. Fear to say that if you bomb the combi to work, we're going to bomb it. Fear to say that if you go to work, we're going to follow you at work and bomb you. out of your work, and if fear that if you're in your house and you're a policeman or something who follow you there and bomb you out. So it was fear. So fear won the day yesterday. I'm not sure if Jamuga has to exist in Chile, won anything at all, because on their own they did not do anything, but out of fear. I remember yesterday I saw a letter from one school in Harare, Chisipite, which was on the board, saying that the board, addressed to parents, saying that the board has decided that they were going to close the school out of fear of our children's safety. They did not say that in solidarity with the hashtag that Jamuga hashtag CGC. They said out of fear, not out of solidarity. Even the workers that did not go to work, most of them would tell you that it was out of fear, but not out of solidarity. So maybe next time when they want to do this, let them do it in a voluntary manner whereby they don't induce fear to anybody. Let people come in voluntarily and partake of that demonstration voluntarily, but not because they fear.
Mr. Ngube, your reaction, quick reaction to that.
I think Mr. Chuma is behaving like what the ZBC has done. The ZBC has fooled the people of Zimbabwe. The ZBC has lied to the citizens of this country, and they violated the broadcasting laws by misleading the nation. What they said is that they claimed that the situation was normal in Bulawayo. The situation was not normal in Bulawayo. They even claimed that it was also raining. So I wonder if a normal person can listen to that. Comrade Chuma is behaving like Robert Mugabe and ZBC, and that is a total lie. Actually, the people that they have demonstrated are demonstrating because they did not receive their salaries. The doctors have done so. The people of Zimbabwe have done so. There was no fear instilled in them by anyone else, but that was a true commitment towards liberating themselves from the tyranny and ZANU-PF. So, Comrade Chuma, I know you are living in fear because you are in ZANU-PF. You fear that at the end of the day you will be victimized by ZANU-PF. And I know what you are speaking is not in your mind. And you know it very well. I know you will agree with me. Come the election time, I know what you are going to vote for. And you know that ZANU-PF has served this nation. And the people have demonstrated in solidarity, not in fear. So don't behave like ZANU-PF. Don't behave like Mugabe. Behave in a reality manner. This nation is suffering. This nation has been driven through the train by the President Robert Gabriel Mugabe. So, Comrade Juma, what you are saying is something that is out of your mind. What you are saying is unreal. Wake up and face reality. And we know that some people like you are supporting this cause. Because Mugabe has failed this nation.
Honorable Juma, briefly.
My brother seems to be getting a bit emotional, but all I'm saying is that if their exercise has to be judged, let it be judged in a fair manner, whereby you don't bend tires, you don't put a blockage on the road, you don't disallow people to go about their business, but instead give people a choice to do that out of their free will. They will say, yes, you have achieved something. But the moment you put blockades on the road and bend tires and send messages threatening violence, there's no longer a free will. There's now an element of fear. That is why I said fear won the day yesterday. And I want us to have a day where normalcy will win the day, whereby I, even if I'm ZANU-PF, will choose on my own to say I want to train and stay in. Not because I fear that if I don't do this, this will happen to me.
That was ZANU-PF lawmaker Joseph Chuma. You also heard from Hepson Ncube, a member of the Jamuga Sesijikile campaign, speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube. We will air a second part of this interview tomorrow, so stay tuned. Prosecutor General Johannes Tomana was suspended today pending investigations by a tribunal appointed by President Robert Mugabe. At the same time, Tomana's trial on allegations of abuse of office failed to kick off after he asked the magistrate to recuse himself. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
President Mugabe today announced that prominent lawyer Ray Gova, who represented him in a high-profile case brought to court by Jealous Mawarire, which resulted in Zimbabwe holding national elections in 2013, before the implementation of key democratic reforms, would be the acting prosecutor general. At the same time, Mr. Mugabe appointed a tribunal that will investigate Tomana on various allegations raised by the Judicial Services Commission. Members of the tribunal took oath of office at State House today. The commission has accused Tomana of disrespecting court orders, among other issues. The Judicial Services Commission complained to President Mugabe that Tomana was no longer fit to continue as the country's prosecutor general after leveling those allegations against him. While members of the new tribunal were being sworn in at State House, Tomana was at the Harare Magistrates Court, where he applied for Magistrate Vakai Chikwekwe to recuse himself in a matter where he is being accused of abuse of office as a public officer. In his application, Tomana's attorney, Advocate Tabani Mpofu, said Chikwekwe was not suitable to preside over his client's trial because his hands were not clean. Mpofu submitted that Chikwekwe presided over Tomana's remand proceedings and could not therefore preside over his trial. While the state opposed the application, Mpofu submitted that his client would not get a fair trial, adding that Chikwekwe's recusal would ensure that the ends of justice were met. Chikwekwe said he would give his ruling on Tomana's application for his recusal tomorrow. The application resulted in his trial that was set to begin today to be put on hold pending Chikwekwe's ruling. Tomana is facing criminal charges after being accused of illegally releasing suspects accused of allegedly plotting to bomb Bugushungo Dairies, a multi-million dollar business venture owned by President Mugabe's family. In another matter that was before the courts, Magistrate Chikwekwe deferred his ruling to tomorrow in a case in which 104 protesters who were arrested in Mavuku and Epworth suburbs on Monday are facing charges of public violence. One of the defense lawyers, Obey Shava, said some of the accused persons failed to appear in court for their bail application owing to injuries sustained when police officers set dogs on them and assaulted them during the demonstrations.
I can confirm that six of our clients, the accused persons, were unable to attend court today owing to the fact that they were critically ill. The prison officers saw it fit in their wisdom that they should not bring them to court. They were left on their beds, on their sick beds, so to speak.
Shara added that the magistrate also did not entertain the defense lawyer's request for arrested minor children to be released. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Please, listeners, note that tomorrow we have an exclusive interview with MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai.
We have been on record warning government not to take the simmering crisis and the simmering sentiment expressed by the people lightly, that they should respond and deal with the problems the people are raising. Instead of using violence to beat up people, before even you are in a position to respond to the people's concerns, we have always said as MDC, we don't believe in violence. We have already expressed the fact that violence is not a solution. But if the state is at the forefront of unleashing violence against the people, then it is the state that is self-destabilizing.
That there is MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai. Don't miss the full interview here on Studio 7 tomorrow. Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when hosts of the Women's Roundtable, Marvelous Mhlanganyahuye and Praxedis Jeremiah, will be talking with listeners about the must stay away that happened yesterday. And now to recap today's top stories. The situation is tense but calm today following nationwide protests in Zimbabwe, with some of the organizers of the Stay Away urging President Robert Mugabe to resign. A senior government official says the import ban on some basic commodities is being misinterpreted by most people. That's it for tonight. And now please do stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Ntungamili Nkomo. This is Chris Gande in Washington. Good night, Zimbabwe.